and welcome, my friend, to the Minnesota Gardening Podcast. My name is Brad Tabkins. My honor to have you here with us today for this episode of the Minnesota Gardening Podcast. I am really excited to share this one with you. We are talking with the founder of the Como Community Seed Library, and I just had a heck of a time getting that name correct while we were recording the interview, but it was just so awesome to talk with Dawn. She has so much energy and passion for collecting seeds and storing them and sharing them with her community. It's just an absolutely beautiful thing. I found out about them by just running across a free little library that had a seed library in it. And I got myself some Rattlesnake Master there that I'll be winter sowing this coming year. So with that, here is Dawn Lamb of the Como Community Seed Library. All right. Hello and welcome everyone to the Minnesota Gardening Podcast. I'm honored today to have Dawn Lamb with me today. She is the founder of the, Dawn, I almost screwed up the name again, Como Community Seed Library. And I've been struggling with that one all morning. So I appreciate everybody's patience with my messing up names. But Dawn, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for asking us to join you and talking about seeds.
So I just happened to run across the seed library and I got myself some Rattlesnake Master seeds a few months ago. And so I really wanted to chat with you. There was an equivalent of a little free library that was out in front of someone's house in Minneapolis. And I stopped by and checked. I think it was in St. Paul, actually. And so I stopped by and that's where I got my little packet of seeds here. And I wanted to talk to you guys because this is an amazing, amazing program to be giving seeds out and making sure to spread the love around. So can you talk about the seed library a little bit, Dawn, and let everybody know what it is?
Sure. Como Community Seed Library is a mobile seed library. It was founded in 2015. Actually, we just celebrated our 8th anniversary. And we're, unlike other seed libraries, there are several in our area, but we're available to do pop-ups. We reach out into the community via little free libraries like the one that you visited. We have 8 in the Como Park neighborhood and in the North End. We're part of the MinSeed Collaborative, which is the seed-to-seed native plant community science project. And and you can also find us at the New Brighton Farmers Market, as well as other community events in the neighborhood and in St. Paul.
Awesome. So can you talk a little bit about how the seed library works? Like, where does the seed come from? We'll come back to MinSeed in a little bit on things, but like, how does in general the Como Community Seed Library work, and why did you think that there was a need for that in your community?
So free seed, we've lost. My family comes from a farming background. My dad was a farm boy. From North Carolina. I was born in Southern California and my parents had a huge garden there and then moved to the Midwest when I was a little bit older. We always had a garden. With the family farm, and some pollinator conservation work that I was doing in the early teens, I became aware of some of what was happening with small family farmers and GMO genetically engineered seed and the availability of seed and in the commons and people being able to and people being losing their farms because they were using what was essentially patented seed and the seed that they were saving was seed on their land, but their next door neighbor, corn is a wind pollinated crop, and the pollen from the genetically engineered product was on their neighbor's land, pollinating their corn. And of course, that genetic material was showing up in the genetics of their corn. And although they were not actively seeking to violate any patent laws, their corn that they were saving seed from was showing this. And when I realized that someone like my great aunt, who is currently 98 years old, could lose the family farm because she liked to save seed. It was, and that farm has been in the family for a really long time. It struck a chord that people shouldn't lose their livelihood. And that's the story of an American farmer. I mean, we could talk about farming across the world, but that's probably the impetus of saving seed. Seeds are fabulous. Our crops, we've lost, if we talk about genetic diversity in our crops, we've lost like 60% of our diversity in the past 100 years. Your grandparents, my grandparents had a lot more choices. It wasn't just the green bell. It wasn't a pepper. It wasn't just the corn or three varieties of corn that were available. Or if you were looking at flowers, it wasn't, you know, three species or three varieties of zinnias or whatever. There was just this plethora. You open a seed catalog from early on and it's amazing what's available. It's also amazing what the heirloom varieties that people are stewarding, rediscovering, checking out from the USDA through the GRIN system. And so what we wanted to do as a seed library was make this diversity available to people and have them experiment with it, make it available to them in a form that it's free. They can access it very quickly. We're also seed savers. We're also promoting seed saving. So once people have open pollinated heirloom seeds that they can start with, we're telling them, you know, start with your peas, your beans, your tomatoes, and your lettuces, your easy to save seeds. Pick one that you want to get to know, one that you eat. Are you someone who loves tomatoes? Pick a tomato variety that speaks to you. Do you want to grow San Marzanos? Maybe you want something that is totally different. Heirloom tomatoes are becoming, once you realize how tasty they are, you start, and the variety of taste and shape and color that you can get, that you start saving seeds from these. So maybe you are attracted to the Bosque Blue Bumblebee, or maybe you want to save seeds from or start with Brad's Atomic Grape, or maybe lemonade, which is a variety a friend of mine developed. And or any of the varieties like Le Houllier is growing down in North Carolina right now. Right. So there's wonderful, wonderful work that's being done in that field. And so start with, you know, get some seeds. We're encouraging people when you, the seed process or the checkout process, you asked about that, how people get seeds. You found seeds in the little free libraries. And we have, like I said, this past year, we really went deep and we had 8 locations. And right now, or I'll say that in those 8 locations, we stocked from basically March and we still have seed out there. What's out there now is native plant seed, because it's a perfect time for folks to start thinking about that. Right. But going back to checking out, that's one way that you can get seeds from the seed library. We also have, if you've been to our website, which is homoseedlibrary.org, you can check seeds out online, pick seeds up, or have them mailed to you as well. Which is another way to access these seeds. We have some seeds. We try and keep everything in the seed library organic, heirloom, locally adapted seed. We do have some commercial seed in there because we're still building that, what would you call it, resilience. We want to be a self-supporting seed library. So all of our seed comes from our members or from the community.
Yeah. I'm gonna stop there for just a second. The story of like that story with Monsanto and corn and just all the insanity around that and just the logical people looking at that. And I'm sure that there are just dozens of podcasts on that specific on their own. But I just encourage people to look that up a little bit. There's been movies about it. There are lots of books written about it and how it is just how critical and important it is for people to maintain that heritage and maintain where we've come from. And just the food industry has changed so much over the last, I don't know, what would you say, 50 years and 10 years, whatever it is, and just how that all has evolved. So I really appreciate that you guys have that as part of your history and founding and where that's been.
Right. If you're just to give a shout out, if you're interested in seed stewardship, on a global level. There's a wonderful movie called The Seeds of Adana Shiva that to check out. The Hort Society, we have a wonderful Hort Society in the state of Minnesota, and they mm-hmm. hosted that, as well as several other organizations, seed organizations on a national level and locally too. Right. So I think you can, yeah, so you can find it on YouTube or the other
places. I'll put links to it in the show notes that people can find at minnesotagardening.com so they can, I'll put it in there for everybody.
Wonderful. So, and we talked about, you said you picked up Rattlesnake Master. What are you planning on doing?
Yeah. So Rattlesnake Master is a plant that I've tried to start from seed before and have failed miserably. And so we're going to give it another shot through there. And so the failed miserably, they all sprouted, but then I was a terrible, I'm not great at watering, Dawn. Like, watering is not my forte. And so we're going to try again this winter. So with winter sowing for a variety of different perennials. And so we've got another episode of the podcast coming here right around Christmas time. That's all going to be about winter sowing. And so we'll tie these two together there for sure and figure that out. So I'm excited about how that will work and getting that going. So with those things, if people have plants, vegetables, native perennials, those kinds of things, grasses on their property that they want to save seed for, can you just give like the general 30,000 foot level as to how to go about seed saving and saving seeds, and what people should think about if they're listening to this like in the spring, like should, like spacing and distances and different things like that as to what people should be doing and how?
Oh, okay. So if you're starting with, start small, like I said, pick one crop you're going to seed save from. If you decide you're going to save seeds from everything, if you're talking about food crops, it'll get intimidating and it won't be fun. Seed saving, is something that is people in their seeds have always been. And so getting into it, it's a skill that we've had as humans since the beginning of time. And so it's something we should be practicing, but it's also easy to do. And so start with peas and beans. You put your peas, choose when you choose your seeds, choose an open pollinated heirloom variety. You can check this either from your seed company. You can check that out from your local seed library.
Can you explain open pollinated just to make sure everybody's on the same page?
Sure. Open pollinated is seed that is, it comes from the parent plant, is what we would call a straight or a stable variety. And it's going to be pollinated by insects, or nobody is going to have genetically modified that seed, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's not a variety where I've taken Alaska and done it with green marble. It's not an F1. It's going to be an heirloom variety. Usually those are going to just say, it might say, you know, early whatever. I'm talking peas specifically here. And
can you
go ahead
before? Can you also give us a quick explainer on F1 hybridization, that kind of thing, so that everybody understands why they can't use hybrids for these?
Okay, so hybrids are great for certain things. They're usually F1s are that first generation when you take two heirloom varieties and you cross them, and you can cross them in different ways. You could take the pollen from one and apply it to the flower of the other plant, and then you save those seeds, you tag those seeds, save those seeds specifically, and you've got an F1 hybrid at that stage. That first generation is fabulous because, like I said, it will have some disease resistance. It may also have some resistance to pests, and it may be more prolific. But what you won't get, you can't save seeds from it because it will not come true to type. And true to type is basically I plant that and I that plant and I save seeds from it, and the genetic traits that I'm wanting to save for might not be there. It might have the genetic traits of the parent, or either the, you know, your maternal parent or your paternal parent, and or it might not have any of those varieties. It will devolve into something, and it may not produce well at all. So that's why you don't want to save seeds from hybrids.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, and I could also argue against that too, but we're not going to go there today. That's probably third level seed saving, right?
Exactly. That's a separate podcast.
Right. But start with an open pollinated variety of a crop you love. Make it an annual crop, not a biennial, but an annual crop. And so peas, beans, lettuce, tomatoes, those are wonderful things to start with. And then, or flowers, your annual flowers are a good one to start with too. Keeping in mind that some annual flowers have some very complex genetics to start with. So like zinnias. So those are great to start with as far as crops and your annual flowers. You can always, always save seeds from native plants with a couple of caveats, which is as we all know, our pollinators, our wildlife in our yards does better, we do better when we have straight species of native plants in our environments. And there are a few exceptions, but for the most part, start with, just like with our heirloom and open pollinated seeds, if we start with our open pollinated straight varieties of native plants, we're going to have better conservation and ecological servicing on our land and in our yards going forward with our native seeds. And
right.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that a lot of people don't understand that, like, when you go to just a garden center and you get a Rudbeckia or Black-Eyed Susan there, that is generally, you know, like Goldstrom or there are just a couple different varieties of Black-Eyed Susan, but those aren't propagated by seed. So those don't come with any genetic diversity whatsoever with those. And so it is really interesting the impacts that has. Like, Black-Eyed Susans are a great, great, great native plant, but then you have the exact same identical genetics all throughout wherever you see a Black-Eyed Susan planted from a nursery. And that's why it's important to start from seed, because it gives us diversity and gives us different flower shapes and different, slightly different colors that may have different ecological impacts to our local pollinators and friends and all that kind of stuff. So it's really important. And just want to reiterate the fact that starting from seed is a great way to get that diversity.
Right. And it's not just starting with seed. I've talked about starting with seed, but part of the seed, the reason why you have a seed library or we're saving these seeds is because what we're promoting is locally adapted, local varieties and local phenotypes of these seeds, so that they're more adapted to our soils. They're adapted to our climate and climate change, the stressors that our right. current plants are going through, whether they be our native plants or whether they be these crop plants as well. And so, you know, when you check out seeds from our library, or you get seeds from someone at a seed swap, or somebody in your neighborhood shares seeds with you, chances are that seed is going to be better adapted to the local conditions. It is going to produce fruit earlier. It's going to be adapted to our short growing season, because we have amazingly short growing seasons. And that's why we have to start our tomatoes in, right. you know, indoors in, you know, when there's snow on the ground. But it's an eggplant, right? Any of these long season crops, if we want them as far as food on our table. The other, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. We are at the 20-minute mark, and we do a fabulous job of talking, Dawn. this is very, very good. But we're going to run up against our end time here pretty quick. So I want to – let's roll back just a second and just talk about the seed-saving process on its own. So let's take peppers, or actually beans. Beans would be a really easy one to do. Like, what are the – 3 steps of saving beans from when you're thinking about planting to where to store them after they dry, like that kind of thing.
Right.
What do people do in the process?
So again, choose your seeds wisely. Design your garden for the best best space to grow those beans so that they have the proper amount of sunlight, that you've got the right amount of soil nutrition in there, keeping in mind. We could go down that road too, because beans are fabulous for that. Legumes have an ecological surface and that they anchor nitrogen in the soil. So you're doing wonders if you're planting beans. So get your beans put in, plant them at the proper time so that they are at a good soil temp to the advantage. Follow the instructions on the package or on the website for that particular variety or for beans in general. So they come up, you are looking at, you're keeping track of the plants. You're going to plant one variety of beans to start with. We're not going to go fancy on isolation methods, et cetera, right now. What we're going to talk about is you've picked your favorite bean and you're going to grow it out this season, because this is super easy, low hanging fruit seed saving and getting you successful with that first variety. So you grow it out. You've got enough plants maybe to give you, are you looking for fresh green beans? Fine. Then choose something that is a green bean variety or that gives you green beans. Some beans, like the Hidatsa Shield bean, you can eat as a green bean. You can also eat it as a dried bean. And they're absolutely beautiful. They're mottled and they're kind of cream and russet red. And they're from Hidatsa people. So so I've just pushed the variety. So you start with the variety. You've planted it. You're watching it grow. It's at certain stages, it's appropriate for harvesting for different purposes. For seed purposes, you're going to let some of those pods dry down on the vine so that they're brown. We want them crispy brown. And that's when those seeds are ready for harvesting. And so you harvest the pods, you take them, you put them someplace where you have good air circulation and dry them down for another week or two, maybe a little bit longer. Beans are ready for harvest. You're going to take them out of the shed when the seed shed or the pod is crunchy brown and is about ready to dehisce or open on its own. You're going to pull the seeds out of that and you're going to look and see, check the bean and see if it's actually dry enough for storage. And so what you're going to do is you're going to take your thumbnail and you're going to do the thumbnail test. And if you apply your thumbnail to the bean and it leaves a mark, it's not dry enough. So you need to set it aside and let it dry down further. The dry down period is so subjective because it has to do with how much humidity, how much air is available, for how warm it is outside, right? On the circulation piece. Super easy to do. Just set it, forget it someplace. Check on it every 3 or 4 days. Move the beans around so that they dry properly and that you're keeping the exposure to any sort of other pathogens at to a minimum. Once they are dried down, what we're going to do is, and we know that we're able to see no longer a thumbnail mark in it, we're going to take those seeds, we're going to label in your garden, label. Mm-hmm. When you plant your seeds, label. And we say this because I have a spreadsheet, and I keep a spreadsheet on what I grow and the plant date, the germination date, soil temps, a few other things. You don't have to go, but do label your seeds so that you know that I grew these seeds from this packet and this packet is from this year. And then when you come to the point where you're going to store your seeds on your packet, where you got the seeds, your original source, you're going to, how many plants you saved seeds from, you're going to label when you saved them, and then you as the seed harvester, and then location if you can. And having all that information on the packet is going to give you all the information that you need when you go to share the seeds. But also, let's say if you've successfully saved them, seeds aren't just good for a year. Seeds are good for multiple years if you follow certain guidelines. There are some great books. I'll give you some. There's The Seed Garden. From all of this information you can find from The Seed Garden, which is put out by Seed Savers Exchange. There's two other books that I really, really enjoy. There's some wonderful information on the USDA website, and some of our local friends have some great information. Michelle Bruin has a book, and we have several other folks. We've got Kobe Jashkite Hagen, who is a local seed keeper, as well as like Courtney Cheetah. We've got great local resources. Wonderful. And we have seed to seed guides on our website too, by the way. So yeah. Go ahead.
There's a ton of great information on your website. It's really, really wonderful. So great job there.
Oh, thank you. We're adding to it. We've got some, hopefully it reflects voices of different growers in our area. So you've gotten to the point where your seeds are ready to go into a nice paper envelope here. Paper. We want it in paper, right? And we use, for the seed library and for our seed distributions, we use #1 coin envelopes. That's just what we do. It's more that you want them in a paper envelope because that's going to absorb some moisture, and it's also going to keep them for at least for two seasons if you do nothing more than put them in a paper envelope. Labeled, and store them in a cool, dark, dry space. Okay, so cool, dark, and dry is the mantra. If you get them dry enough, you can store, and you want to store them long term for several years. Because let's face it, one seed pod has, if you save bean seeds, you might get a handful that is, 30, 40 seeds, maybe more than that. Maybe you get 2 gallons worth, or maybe you get a quart, and you're going to eat some of them, but you're going to save some. You're going to share some with your friends. You're going to share some back to the seed library, of course.
Of course.
And then, because somebody else has to check it out. And once you've done that and you've got these seeds that you're going to store, you can store them in a airtight container with a desiccant pack. And that can just that act in and of itself in a cool, dark, dry space, whether with constant humidity. Putting it in that airtight container is going to ensure that constant humidity. If you're really good, you could put it in the refrigerator at the back, and then you could have those seeds available to you to garden with for several years. There are wonderful guides out there for that, and I think some of that you can find on our website. And
for sure.
Some seed saving companies, I think it's either Fedco or somebody has it on their website too. So
yeah, there's a great one from, we did an episode with Seed Savers Exchange. And so they gave us a lot of great information. So if people go to minnesotagardening.com and just search for Seed Savers Exchange, they'll find that episode with all the delightful show notes on that one.
There's also the seednetwork.org that is wonderful. It's kind of Seed Savers Exchange belongs to it. It's between Canada and the US, and they've got lots of tools. Somebody wants to start a seed library. That's a great place to go investigate all the
good
opportunities and tools that are available there too.
Right. So Dawn, we are bumping up against our ed time here. So I want to go over a couple more things. One, we talked a little bit before the podcast started about Minseed. Can you explain what that is and how it can help folks?
Sure. Minseed is the Minnesota Native Plant Community Science Project. And Minseed stands for Saving Essential Edibles and Diversity. It was started in 2020 as a response to the pandemic, making sure that seeds got out in the hands of people, because we didn't know if we were going to have food to put on our tables. We wanted folks to have the ability to grow their own. And how Minseed, the focus on the Native Plant Project, came about was we all do better when we all do better. And we were put in touch by Michelle Bruin with 21 Roots Farm. We collected seeds in their wonderful meadow out there. And thus was born Minseed Project. And the following spring, we applied for a grant from our local watershed district, Capital Region Watershed District. And we started working with our folks in the Cap Region Watershed District on and in our local landscapes, saving, working with folks to identify plants, native plants, save seeds from those plants, work through the season on those plants, and then package, saving them, cleaning them, packing them up, all in community, and making right. them available back out to, like the seeds you picked up, back out to the community, all within. So it's a seed-to-seed economy, free economy. As far as all of that. So if you attend a MinSeed event, then you can, or meet up where you might, we might be doing seed cleaning. We might be seed collecting. We just had hosted a last seed collecting event at Monarch City, which is at the West Minnehaha Rec Center. It's like a 12,000 square foot native plant garden around this rec center in St. Paul. And so yeah, well, so coming up, we have MinSeed is available through the Seed Library because we're one of the collaborators. Our executive director is Courtney Cheetah, and the other collaborator is Stephanie Hankerson, who's very active in the Hamlin Midway neighborhood and is the kind of little engine behind, not so little engine behind the Launceston legume demonstration neighborhood called the Beeline. And awesome. So there's a lot of MinSeed is like fuels a lot of different projects in the CAP region watershed district. So you can access those seeds. We'll be at Patagonia, the Patagonia store on Grand Avenue on December 10th from I think 2 to 4 p.m. And you can access seed there, come meet the MinSeed folks and learn more about that and locally saved seed. On your seed packet, you'll notice it probably tells you where your seeds were collected.
CRWD.
Right. It was collected at the Capital Region Watershed District headquarters.
There you go. Beautiful. So, good. Yeah. Well, Dawn, this has been an absolute pleasure. So thank you so much for taking time and being with us today and just sharing all your wisdom and knowledge about seed saving and the incredible work that you and your folks are all doing. Is there anything about the seed library or just seed saving in general that I haven't asked you about that you want to make sure that people know about?
Well, I will tell you, any seed library right now could really use any locally adapted, locally collected seed. If you've checked seed out from our seed library, Como Community Seed Library, or any of the other seed libraries, if you are gardening and you have saved seed, get in touch with your local seed library. Get in touch with us and let's talk about being able to share your seeds back and your seed stories back through to the public.
That is beautiful. So how can people get in touch with you and make sure to talk about how people can donate to help make sure that everything is sustainable and moving forward?
So if you're donating to the Seed Library, you can get in touch with us through the website. There's a form that you can fill out that talks about donating to the Seed Library. You can email me at info@comoseedlibrary.org or dlamm@comoseedlibrary.org. And we'll talk about how to get your seeds and your seed information into the seed catalog and sharing out to the community. And again, I will tell you that all the seed libraries in our area would very much appreciate you doing that.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Dawn, for being with us. Again, I really, really appreciate it. People can find you at comoseedlibrary.org. That's correct? .org?
Yes. Yeah.
Great. Perfect. So comoseedlibrary.org. Okay, go ahead.
And thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I will talk to you again very soon. Thanks, Dawn.
Yeah. Take care. Bye.
See what I mean? That was just a wonderful, wonderful interview with Dawn. And you can find them at comoseedlibrary.org. And you also find all the links to everything in the show notes at minnesotagardening.com. And click on podcast there, and you will be able to find that. Again, it's minnesotagardening.com. And while you're there, you can join the Minnesota Gardening Club for just a couple more days for $47 for a full annual membership. So I would appreciate you supporting the Minnesota Gardening Club. I know that you will get a lot out of it and will move from there. So again, minnesotagardening.com. You can just click on Minnesota Gardening Club there and join Minnesota Gardening Club for one full year for just $47. So that is there. Also, we have a gift membership at our new Minnesota Gardening Shop. So it's minnesotagardening.shop. You can also find that in the show notes. for this episode and or at minnesotagardening.com. So you can find minnesotagardening.shop and you can get a gift membership for folks you love, neighbors, other folks who care about feeding pollinators, eliminating chemicals, and helping to save water. So there we are. And I really just thank you so much. We're in winter now. And I thank you so much for listening to the podcast, sharing the podcast with your friends, and helping to get the word out there. During the month of December, we're going to have multiple episodes focusing on winter and winter sowing, and some really, really awesome announcements coming up for Minnesota Gardening Club members after the first of the year. So I will listen to you. I don't know what I'm saying right there. I will see you again next week and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you.